This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. In this message entitled Seasons of Change, Pastor Scott discusses how the Christian should respond to the inevitable seasons of change that we all experience and many are dealing with even now. This message was delivered on October 22nd, 2017. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Amen. Would you thank Pastor Aaron? He's such a good speaker, yeah? And he can sing. He had so many gifts. I think when they passed it out, I think I was absent. Well, good morning. Thank you, ushers. Would you give the ushers a hand? Oh, it's just so beautiful this morning. It was so still. It was so quiet. Just the stillness and the beauty of the sunrise. And I'm always like, wow, thank you so much for another day. And, you know, the partnership we have with KL Middle School is ongoing. And if you want to jump in and give us a hand, we have more projects to help them with. They want to paint the yellow stripes on the curbs of the sidewalk. And, you know, there's just so many things that we could do to partner up with them to let them know that, hey, we're not just in this community to come here and gather, but we're here to take action and to do things, to actually be a part of the community. So if you desire to help or even head up some of these projects, you know, let me know. I gladly turn it over to you. Yeah? Silence. Well, today, I'm just so thankful that we're finished with that series of Sin and Satan. That was tough to talk about, and thank you for bearing with me for 4 weeks on that. And if you missed it, you can catch it online, newhopeeasthawaii.com. There's the audio versions of it there. So if you missed it, you can do that. But today we're going to talk about seasons of change. And man, things have been changing quite fast. You know, back when, you know, years ago when I was younger, there was this song that I really enjoyed by Olomana titled Kuuhome o Kahalu. You guys remember that song? The old guys do, yeah? It says, I remember days when we were younger. Don't we all? Or, you know, man, when I was young, I could run around and jump and play basketball and all racquetball all day long. Now, a couple hours and I'm spent. You know, I like how they used to say, you know, they talk about the good old days. You know, like when the traffic was like hardly any. And I remember when I first moved up here, the traffic was 5 cars. Now, if you live in Paradise Park, the traffic is from Paradise Park to town might take you an hour. And you never had to lock your car. Now you look on Facebook, people whose car is getting stolen out of their driveway. And I was like, wow, you never had to lock your house. I remember when candy was $4 for $1. Oh, now you know how old I am. Remember when gas was like 50 cents? I used to pump gas my first job. I was 15 years old. And people would give you $20 and say, fill them up, Ethel. Yeah, you know what Ethel, remember? The old guys know what Ethel is, right? That's not Ethel, you know, not a lady's name, but that was the name for super. And $20 would actually fill up a big car. Now, $20, half tank maybe. But the good old days, when things were just so simple, and sometimes there's a desire to go back and live in those simple days. And you think about it, well, yeah, if you want to go back and live in the simple days, then, well, you're going to have to move to Niihau or Molokai or maybe even Lanai because they're still maybe a little bit simpler than us. But even though we cannot dwell in the past and it seems so long ago, you know, I remember when I was a young kid, and my dad and my mom, they used to take us camping like for a whole week. me and my two older brothers and some cousins, and it was so much fun. How peaceful it was down at the beach, and it was safe. You didn't have to worry about somebody coming and hijacking you, but it was safe. And you know, things have changed. You know, so much. You know, Dad is gone, Mom lives alone. My two older brothers, they have lives and problems of their own. For me, my girls are all grown up, and they're starting lives of their own, careers of their own. And the days of me taking care of them are coming to a close. You know, I still get calls when their car is broken, though. You know, hey, Dad, my car is broken. Can you help me fix it? And I don't mind. But the days of, you know, when you had little children and you would lie down and you would hold them on your chest, you would kiss their head, you would smell them, they're so fresh. Cannot do that anymore. That's why when I look at your babies, I get jealous and I want to take them. I do. And but unfortunately, I like babies, but babies don't like me. They cry when the moment I touch them, the moment I reach out, they run. Yeah, and the times and season change. You know, as I age, I cannot live in the past. I cannot. Rayson, remember when we played softball a couple years ago and I thought I was 28? And I ran and I ran and I fell and I fractured my eye socket because I thought I was 28 when I was 50. And I cannot act like that anymore. Rayson told me all I heard was a thump. I landed face first on the ground. Yeah, I spit out a mound of cinders and everything. But seasons change, and I can cherish those memories, but I cannot dwell there. I cannot, like, live my life in the past. And as my wife and I draw closer to becoming empty nesters, you know, we got to look to God and say, what is next? What is our next assignment? What do we do? You know, because the time for raising our children is coming to an end because, you know, they're independent. We got to look to God to help us with the changes ahead. In Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, Solomon writes this, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, and a time for war and a time for peace. You know, Solomon's point in this section was that God has a plan for everyone. He provides cycles of life, each with its work for us to do in every season. And although we may face many problems that seem to contradict God's plan, that should not be barriers to believing in him, but rather opportunities to discover that, you know, without God, life problems will have no lasting solution. As we grow older and as time goes on, you know, the climate changes, hurricanes, earthquakes, rumors of wars, these things surround us and, you know, they can stress us out. The thing is, things must change. They cannot stay the same. It's how God created things to grow and change. We cannot stay the same forever. We need to change with the seasons. We need to grow up and mature. We cannot stay childlike. Maybe only in our faith, but in our thinking, we cannot be like that. But as things change, here's the thing. Number one, don't worry. Don't worry about the worldly things. Don't worry about being an empty nester. Don't worry about empty rooms in your house. In Joshua 1:9, Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Here's the situation. Moses has passed on. Joshua now is a new leader. He is called to lead the Hebrews into the promised land. He's young. He's got big shoes to fill. This is the third call to courage addressed to Joshua and was based on God's promise of his presence. Now, this did not minimize the task that he faced, but he would encounter giants and fortified cities, but God's presence would make all the difference in the world. We cannot worry about things. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. It says, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. You know, as the seasons change, as we get older, sorry for the bad news, but things change. And sometimes we worry. My thing is, you know, I go to the hospital, I go to care homes, and I pray for people, and I see people suffer. And my thing is like, Lord, when you take me like that. Please don't let me linger in a vegetative state. And my thing is, I like to work with wood, and I still can carry a sheet of plywood, 3/4 inch, 4x8. And it's getting harder and harder every time. Before, I would go to the store, just pick it up off the shelf, put it on a cart, take it outside, and throw it on my truck. Now, I got to go look for the stack that's this high so I can drag it on the cart. Then when I go to the store, they ask, do you need help loading? Of course I do. The pride has to go. I'm sorry. And you know, to pick up that piece of wood, it's like, oh, it's heavy. I have help loading it up. But when I get home, it's just me, man. And I got to pull those sheets off. And sometimes I got 10, 12 sheets. And I'm not as young as I used to be. And I realize in my old age, I become weaker and I struggle. And I cannot, you know, I cannot worry about, oh, what if one day I cannot pick up this piece of wood? I cannot dwell on that. What if one day I cannot cut a piece of wood or build something, or I cannot see straight? You know, I cannot worry about things that change, that I have no control over. So the thing is, number two, change will happen. I mean, you cannot stop change. It will happen. We will get older. We will lose our hair. Our hair will turn white. And my wife keeps trying to convince me to dye my hair. And I said, if God wanted me to have black hair, then he would have kept it black, right? If God wanted you to have purple hair, he would have made it purple. But you choose to make it purple, that's your choice. But change will happen. We cannot stop it. Matthew 24:6 says this. Jesus' word, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. How many of you have been hearing that? See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. How many of you think about it? And how many of you actually worry? Be honest. Okay, so when you put up your internet and on your homepage says that we are in a threat of nuclear war, how many of you are like, oh no, what's going to happen? How many of you worry, or how many of you pray? I pray for the leader of North Korea. I pray that he would have a change of heart. And I pray for our president that he would not provoke him, because it goes back and forth. And sometimes it can be tiring. You know, Jesus, he began to describe the events leading up to his return in glory and to indicate that signs of his return. In Luke 21:10-11, then he continued by saying to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes, and in various places, plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. Jesus told his disciples about things that would happen or would start to occur before the destruction of the temple. Jesus said other people would come and claim to be the Messiah. And he gave this warning so that his disciples would not be deceived. Jesus said wars would occur. When these things happened, the disciples were not to be frightened, for the end would not come right away. Jesus added that there would be earthquakes and famines and pestilence. Now, if we were to open our eyes, we see some of these things happening right now. And we might be concerned. We might be concerned that if war breaks out, will all my stocks and my retirement lose everything and I have no retirement? Will the economy crash and everything else that I thought was valuable is now useless? See, as followers of Christ, we shouldn't worry about these things. We understand that change won't happen. We need to have faith. We need to pray. Here's the thing I like. Number three, Jesus Christ doesn't change. He doesn't waver in the way that we receive forgiveness. He doesn't waver in the way we get to heaven. He doesn't say, today, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. And then tomorrow say, no, you need to go to church 365 days in a year. That's how you get saved. He doesn't change. Aren't you grateful that he doesn't keep changing the rules? Unlike sometimes when we play softball, the rules get changed. Yeah, we know those rules that change during softball. It always tests our character, because when we're safe, we're out. And then when the other team is out, they're safe. And things change and we get frustrated. But change will happen. But the thing is, Jesus Christ doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Human leaders change. They have much to offer. But man, we need to keep our eyes on Christ. He's our ultimate leader. He will never change. He has been and will be the same forever in this changing world. We will all age. We will all make adjustments to this ever-changing world and our bodies. But God remains the same. He doesn't change the way we get to heaven. He doesn't change the way we receive forgiveness. It was always the same. When Jesus came, we confess, we're forgiven. Doesn't change. So in this seasons of change, what do we do? Number four, we need to look to Christ. Psalms 121, 1 and 2, I will lift up my eyes to the mountain. From where shall my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know, if North Korea decides to shoot a nuclear missile at us, what can we do? I mean, honestly, they tell you go find a cement building. You live in Paradise Park. How long is it going to take you to find a cement building? Really? I think we got to go to John and Amy's house. They have a cement house. But even if they do shoot a nuclear missile at us, how many of you would want to survive through that? How many of you want to just say, here I am, Lord, just take me to heaven right now? How many of you would worry about that? How many of you would worry like, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to go to heaven or not? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you don't have to worry. You'll be saved. You know? We don't have to worry about disasters or famine. When we take our eyes off of Christ, then things will become overwhelming. they'll become unbearable, and that's what the devil wants us to do. We look to Christ because what? He is our rock. He is our foundation that we build our lives on. He is steady. And if we keep focus on him, that's all we need to do. You know, sometimes when you go out on a boat and, oh, you get seasick. I mean, how many of you get seasick? They tell you look at something far away that doesn't move, the rock, the island. I've been on boats before, and, oh, I am terrible. I am even if you put me on a boat in Wailoa Pond, I will get sick. I'm serious. I had to go scatter ashes once at sea. And that's something that you cannot rush. So you hop on the boat and you go out to sea. And you're over there. I'm trying my best. We say a prayer. We put the ashes in the ocean. And I'm right there like, oh, gosh, oh, Lord, I'm queasy. I am just like, oh, I'm turning green. And I cannot rush. And I try to look at the mountain. It's like, oh, my, that's not really helping. Oh, and I couldn't rush. And I had to just keep praying. And thank God that he got me through it, man. Because I was out there like what seemed like forever. And I had to keep looking at the rock and trying to anyway. So Christ is our rock. He is the foundation. We, in our seasons of change, we cannot look at the change. We cannot look at, oh, I wish we was back there in the 60s when gas was 50 cents a gallon, when food was like milk was $1 a gallon and, you know, stuff like that. We cannot dwell back there. We need to look to Christ to help us with all this change. And number five, best thing, we can pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Paul was speaking of maintaining a continuous fellowship with God. He's not telling you to close your eyes and pray all day long while you're driving and all. No. He's telling you just keep in contact in your mind. Just keep talking to God. Praying. We can pray for victims of mass shootings. We can pray for natural disasters and people who suffer through them. We can pray for the leaders of countries that threaten us. We can pray for people who terrorize us. We can pray for people who drive slow in front of us, right? Or who turn in front of you without putting their signal on. We can pray for people who park at the gas pump and go shopping and you're waiting for food and gas. Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies. Pray for them. You know, when you see bad stuff happening in this world by bad leaders, oh, I love to curse them. How many of you are in that boat? How many of you we learn? We're in the dirty water when we start cursing like that. And I've been learning, man, oh, more and more I find myself praying for North Korea, praying for the ISIS terrorists, praying for the leaders in Iraq. All these guys who kind of like, you know, we may think they're evil, but maybe if we were in their shoes, they would look at us and say, we're evil. We don't know this situation. But we can pray. Amen? And number six, this is for us, for you and I. We need to remain upright and blameless. In all these things, with all these changes, with all these things going on, whatever season you may be in, whatever trial you may be going through, whether you're on the valley or you're on the mountaintop, you're in the middle. Look at yourself and make sure you're walking the walk. Make sure you can walk upright and blameless, meaning that nobody can say anything against you that will have any weight. Philippians 2:14-15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. How many things? How many of you do some things? without grumbling and complaining? How many of you do all things without grumbling or complaining? Oh, you guys are so honest, because nobody's going to raise their hand. You guys are honest. I love you guys. Because sometimes, somewhere, if somebody raises their hand, that they, and if you do all things without grumbling and complaining, great for you. I want to hang out with you. I want to learn your secret. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Oh, sometimes, I think I need to write that on my forehead. So when I, just that part. So when I look in the mirror, all things. Because sometimes I find myself grumbling. You know, I grumble when I drive, right? That's my biggest problem. We had this conference this past Friday and Saturday, and when I got my assignment, my attitude, I was telling them my attitude would stink because I, on top of all the stuff that I had to do, I got one more thing put on my plate, and that was to speak in front of these people. And I was grumbling because I was like, oh, I got one more thing to do. And I had to ask God, God, you got to change my attitude because it stinks. I mean, you could smell it. It stinks. And I had to remember that I needed to do things. And I had to remember that I get to do things. And so it says, so that you will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in this world. How many of you understand that? Each one of you are lights. How many of you understand that this is a crooked and perverse generation? You look at the world out there. You just look at the news. You look at things going around. It is ugly. But you are the light. You are the salt. You are to flavor the world. You are the light to show the way. Now, I like the light that shows the way. I don't like the light when we're fishing and they shine in your eyes and they blind you and you cannot see where you're going. Now, we don't want to be that kind of light that blind people, but we want to be the light that shows the way. In other words, work on your spiritual walk, not focusing on all the things happening in this world, but what's happening in your heart. Here's the bottom line. You might want to write this down. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Really, focus on him. Listen to him. Follow him. Don't follow me. Follow Jesus. Because if you follow me and I stumble, then you can trip over me and next thing you know, I'm going to be at the bottom of the biggest pile and I'm going to get smashed and it's going to be ugly. But follow Jesus. You can never go wrong following Jesus. Amen? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. You put away your notes. Hey, I just want to let you know, hey, next week Sunday, you're not going to want to miss next week Sunday because we got a special guest speaker. Pastor Alex Pacheco will be. I invited him to come, and I think he was waiting for me to invite him back because he was excited to come. So he's going to be speaking next week. So invite your family, invite your friends. That's coming up next week. But with your bulletins put away, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your heads, and pray with me. And, you know, Jesus, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes up to the Father, but through him. He's our ticket to heaven. He's our ticket to the abundant life. He's the one who's going to help us. We lift up our eyes to the hills, and our help comes from him. And if you never ask him to be your Lord and Savior, as Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I want to give you that chance now. If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you pray this prayer with me? It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? Anybody out there? God bless you over there. Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. And they said yes. They want that relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that as a church family, we would help them learn to walk, to grow in your ways. So Lord, we thank you so much that in our seasons of change, that we cannot go back. We cannot go back to the past. We cannot go back to Egypt. But we need to go forward to the promised land. And I pray that in these seasons, we would always constantly keep our eyes on you. That we would remain upright and blameless. That we would continue to pray for our leaders. So we thank you so much that we get to do this, Lord. We love you dearly. You have called us here, and we thank you. We thank you for this family. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Would you thank the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, you ready for it? Let's go out with a bang. Let's sing. Let's shout. And I'll add this. If you want to dance, dance. The joy. Let's see the joy of the Lord. So would you stand? And let's rock and roll.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.